Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the weekly podcast from the Financial Times on the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and all attention this week is on emerging markets. From the trauma in the Argentine peso to the big Turkish lira decline and the wider sell-off in the currencies of Brazil and South Africa, in Russia and Poland and many others. The questions that are on investors' lips are these. How much further can this EM sell-off go? Is anywhere in emerging markets immune? And what does it say about emerging market economic fundamentals? Worrying about all these questions this week is our guest, Simon Kehane-Evans. He's the EM strategist at Legal & General Investment Management. Simon, we should begin at the beginning, as it were, at the start of the week, and that was the Argentine peso and the efforts by the government and by talking to the IMF to arrest the decline. To some extent, they succeeded, but is it a temporary reprieve?
It's looking quite difficult. And I think that the time frame the IMF provided Argentina with, in other words, these 6 weeks, is simply too long. They need to cut that down to about 2 to 3 weeks, I would say, and come out with some news. Friday, they have the meeting between the board, the IMF board, and the IMF staff. So that should get things going. But we definitely need to see something, some news coming out earlier than rather than later.
Let's go back to basics for those listeners who are not so au fait with the intricacies of EM. I mean, was the Argentine peso up for a sell-off? Did it take people by surprise? We're going back a few months, I suppose, and the actions of the central bank.
I think what did take people by surprise, especially on the markets, is the reaction of locals. Locals started to panic about a week or so ago, and this drove sentiment. Usually it's the foreign investors who drive the sentiment, but let's face it, I mean, about 60% of the debt, even the hard currency debt, is owned by locals in some way or another. So I think that is really a driver. But if we go back, I don't know, several weeks or even about 12 to 18 months, then this was, to a certain extent, a crisis incoming once we see the dollar turnaround. And let's not forget that the dollar turnaround is the fundamental issue here for emerging markets. So I think what happened was that the central bank wasn't independent enough in Argentina in its decision-making process. And the government was trying to have it both ways by hiking wages as trade unions wanted, and on the other side, asking the central bank to hold back with rates. You can't have it both ways. Inflation will give at some stage.
Okay. Running in parallel with the Argentine peso decline was the Turkish lira and the visit by President Erdogan to London this week and some pretty eyebrow-raising comments he had about interest rates, which was a contributor to the lira's sell-off. Is that right?
I think most investors were actually surprised to see the president come to London to tell everybody, well, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Forget about central bank independence. I'm going to take over monetary policy after I win the elections in June. So this was a decreasing independence of the central bank. And I think what we have to do looking forward or looking ahead is to see if there is some sort of a way for the markets, for foreign investors, to find a solution to this issue, because it's very clear the leadership in Turkey doesn't like interest rates, but the other side of the flip side of the coin is that bonds are priced with yields, interest rates, whatever you want to call it. So we need to find some sort of a solution to this. There's not enough dialogue, I don't think, between the markets and the leadership in Turkey. Looking ahead, this is definitely needed. Otherwise, we're going to see the lira slip further.
Right. So Argentina and Turkey, both of them have local issues. But as you said earlier, it's the broader dollar strength, the rising treasury yields, which is contributing to this sense of why do I need to buy up EM government bonds when the yield I can get is so much stronger, and that's pushing the dollar higher. So I'm just trying to widen this out, Simon, to discuss what is broadly going on, because we've had currencies like the Polish zloty, where growth is at 4.6%, and that's probably one of the worst performing EM currencies of the last month. So can you tell our listeners what's the broader picture?
The broader picture is US domestic and foreign policy. And this has been driving the dollar in the last 18 months. So the big surprise for most of us in the markets has been that the dollar actually depreciated all the way into January, February of this year, since the beginning of 2017.
It was loving that, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And this is the problem. We were discussing this before, is that central banks and EM are faced with these inflows. In the GBI EM index of JP Morgan, in other words, the real index that most people use on the local currency side, you've got a yield of 6%. Yeah. So if the dollar is just going one way, in other words, depreciating, what do? You buy these assets, of course. And as a pension fund in Western Europe or the United States, you need these returns to pay for an aging population in most of the countries in developing so-called developed markets.
In a very quick period of time, they're all on the wrong side of that now, aren't they?
Look, you do it as long as it lasts, essentially. And at some stage, you're bound to get that reaction. But you have to think on a long-term view, especially as a pension fund. Right. If you're being benchmarked according to an index from January to December, that's a different issue. And you have to try and adjust those positions before the rat comes. Yeah. But it's very clearly here, this is about the US dollar and nothing else.
Okay. I asked about where is immune. It looks like Asia hasn't quite felt this EM sell-off. That's for good fundamental reasons, really, isn't it? It's about current account surpluses and you know, people just like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, I think you've seen in the last 12, 18 months in places like Korea, for example, being more driven by geopolitical noise rather than, you know, the dollar, for example. But now with the turn in the dollar, you do see those currencies being hit. Not as much maybe now, but you will definitely see that coming up. Like you mentioned with the likes of the zloty, Indonesian rupiah obviously being hit more than the others. Why? Because non-resident ownership of local currency bonds, around 40%. So it is one of the highest ratios in emerging markets. So you'll classically see a reaction in those higher beta currencies when the dollar does move.
Okay. So looking at the fundamentals, did we overplay how well emerging market fundamentals looked, or are they still pretty sound?
Just to be precise here, I think that emerging market fundamentals in general are actually very good. I mean, if you look at the debt to GDP levels of public sectors, actually the IMF's just adjusted the figures below 50%, whereas developed countries have a debt to public sector debt to GDP ratios of over 100%. Now, the issue here is obviously the currencies in emerging markets get much more hit than they do usually in developed countries. But one fundamental assumption here, and which I think is wrong, is that countries like Portugal, for example, or Italy, for example, Greece, as we've seen in the past, always the assumption was that these countries will forever remain in the eurozone. And actually, the external debt to GDP ratios in a number of these countries are way above those in emerging markets. So if I were to show you a chart, EM is really at the bottom level. You're talking about 30-40% external debt to GDP ratios.
All very good, which the risk, though, is that the central banks might end up overreacting to the declines in their currencies. What should they be thinking of?
Very difficult. Once the dollar moves are really very exogenous. As a central bank in EM, individual central bank, you can't do anything about it. You can create swap lines with, for example, the Fed, as was done with Brazil and Mexico in the past, or, for example, with the PBOC, with the Chinese central bank, all these type of things. But at the end of the day, if the dollar is going in an appreciation direction, there is very little you can do as an individual central bank, except for hope that it stops at some stage.
Simon, I've been doing this podcast long enough to remember previous emerging market sell-offs. Apparently there's been five, or this is the fifth, since 2011. So what does this one resemble compared to previous ones? This might help us answer how long is this going to last.
It is a tough one because if you look at inflows into emerging market bond funds, for example, year to date, they've been higher than back in 2013 when the Bernanke tapering announcement came. That was May 2013. So I think it's very different now because fundamentals in general, in my opinion, are better than they were back then. But if we do see the dollar continuing to appreciate, you will continue to see the reaction on the EMFX side until it stops. Yes. There is really little one can do, but this is a fact of life. Yes. And we're all watching the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, which touched 3.1%, for example, all of these things. Dollar, U.S. Treasury yield, and also the oil prices.
One final question, Simon. Do you remember when former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen decided not to raise interest rates because of her concern about the broader global economy, in particular, she mentioned emerging markets? Is there the prospect of that being repeated?
Absolutely. And I was actually going to touch on that point. I think it's a very important point. If you go back to September 2013 and look at Mr. Bernanke's transcript, there was a French journalist who asked right at the end, he said, "Mr. Bernanke, what about emerging markets?" And you look at that transcript, it's 1.5 pages where he said, so he felt so happy that somebody had asked it because they couldn't officially at that time really say, well, you know, EM is really going to have a kickback function or effect on our rate hikes. So that was the first time he said, we're really looking into EM, etc. And then Mrs. Yellen, as you say, she was the first to actually officially admit that they're doing this. The Fed is definitely looking at emerging markets, the reaction function to any rate hikes. And I think given that EM makes up for such a large portion of the global economy now, a function of the 2008 crisis, the Fed and other central banks in developed markets simply cannot ignore that kickback function.
Wait and see. My thanks to Simon Kahane-Evans at Legal & General. So, can emerging market currencies hold back the tide, or are they going to be swallowed up by further dollar strength? Join us again next week. Until then, keep up to date on ft.com/markets. From hard currency, it's goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.